everybody, welcome to the New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and the movies they nearly released or nowly released. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
You know, Ryan, I feel like I owe you a hug.
Accepted. And Erica.
Oh, man. I don't know if I have anything that's better than that. I don't think that I do. So I concede.
My wife cannot replace a hug from my brother.
Mm-mm. Nothing's better. Nothing's better than that.
I feel like counseling is in order here.
We're fine. Everything's great.
All right.
Or a realignment of just our goals.
If you believe it.
We call our vows goals.
Can we even remember back that far? And we're going to talk about a movie that it's different than some of the other nearly New Worlds that we've talked about, because we've talked about a lot of movies that really could have been New World movies. This one could never have been, because we're talking about the 2025 remake of Deathstalker.
Who is he? They say he was once a knight. Before the war against the Dreadites. Surgeon with a sword. Oh, wow. He answers to only one name.
I? What name would that be?
Say this is a remake. I'm not sure it's even a remake.
It's called Deathstalker.
Deathstalker, as we know it on this podcast, Deathstalker. But to the general audience,
that might only be funny to me. I don't
no,
care.
I stand by it.
I
brought this up to my wife today. I said we watched Deathstalker. And she said, "You mean Death's Talker?"
Yes.
And I went, "Wow."
So she said the same thing.
Love and it. She's not on this podcast.
Death's Talker is what she probably corrected you to
no,
say.
No, she said Death's Talker.
Ah.
Mm. She did
love
the
it.
Pause.
Oh.
Love it. Love her for that.
Yeah, so we have discussed the original 1983 movie, which came out as Roger Corman had sold the company to the new ownership group, but had made this movie. He'd shot it in Argentina with a series of other movies, some of which were released by New World Pictures, some which would be released by Concord once Roger Corman was eventually moved on from New World and wasn't making movies for them anymore, despite the fact that he'd sold the company. He also released Deathstalker 2, which he'd shot in Argentina shortly after Deathstalker, because he was interested in making even more of these movies. He would eventually make Deathstalker 3 and 4. And now, in 2025, we have a remake of a New World movie, Deathstalker, directed and written by Stephen Kostanski, who had done Frankie Frico, Psycho Goreman, Manborg, and quite frankly, and I don't think it's difficult. It's not hard to do, maybe. Maybe the bar is a little bit low. easily the best Deathstalker movie of all time.
Oh, God. I was like, what are you lowering? What's the bar low on? Where are you going with this? Easy low bar for Deathstalker.
Well, I mean, not to denigrate the movie, because the movie, I think, is great. It is a terrific movie. So much fun. But having... being the one here that has seen all of the Deathstalker movies.
Fair. Oh, I'm proud. I've seen all the Deathstalker movies.
Only now would that be a humble brag.
Is that like the cool water cooler talk at work?
Yeah.
No.
God, you have so many friends at work. Disagreement.
Who have seen the Deathstalker movies? I don't think so.
You don't go up to the water cooler and like, did you see Deathstalker 2?
They're like, who are you?
I feel like that's the
I'm
best
going to
one.
The water cooler and going, Deathstalker 3, guys, am I right? Pretty lame. Just trying to find the stones? Pretty dumb.
They're like, go back to your desk, like, Grandpa.
What are you talking about?
But now they will. Because there's a 2025 Deathstalker.
Mm-hmm. And now they're going to seek out.
They're going to seek it out. And they're going to say, wait, there were other ones? Mm-hmm. Maybe they are almost as good, close to being as good.
Maybe that's when you could open your jacket flasher style, and then you'll have all the other ones inside the jacket. Like, they'll be like, he's like got all the movies in there. Thank God. And his pants are on. Double thank God.
But like a old timey drug dealer where you're like, hey, look what I got over here.
Yeah. I like that your assumption is that I have my pants on while I'm revealing.
Well, you're at work, so I would hope. One hope.
The different Deathstalker movies in my coat, but also have my pants on. You never know.
You never know.
This also stars Daniel Bernhardt. He plays the main character. Patton Oswalt does a voice of one of the wizards in the movie. This comes after Stephen Kostanski has done Frankie Frico. He had just done, and then before that, he had done Psycho Goreman, which we talked about on this podcast, and we were huge fans of.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Frico being more of a love letter to the Full Moon era of... Puppet Master, but sort of like any movie, like the Ghoulies or anything that had like puppets.
Have I seen Freddy Frico?
Frankie Frico?
Freddy Freak Frank? What is it called? I don't think I've seen it.
I think you just revealed that you have not.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. I might have seen it. It's possible.
I don't know.
Yeah, just because she said the name wrong doesn't mean she hasn't seen it.
Yeah, exactly. Twant.
Well, she says, have I seen it? Because it's possible she has seen it from the...
From a distance.
From behind her eyelids.
From a distance, I might have seen this film.
Have I played the movie?
I've seen this in the background. No, yeah. I've seen parts of Freddy.
There you go.
I keep calling it Freddy, and I'm literally looking at it, reading Frankie, and then my mouth is saying Freddy. No, I've seen this.
I've seen it.
Yeah, this is your squant of his movie.
It is.
Noir.
It is. No, I've seen this in the background of being asleep.
Because I've watched this quite, I mean, and I have this movie on Blu-rays, Frankie Frico. And so you've seen it being played, but you
It's been played in my presence. And from what I've seen and what I remember of what I've seen, it's funny.
It is. It's very good. And so
have you written that in Letterboxd yet?
No, but once I get hired there,
You should make an account and just be like, from what I've seen.
She will not start an account until she's officially an employee.
That's right. Yeah.
Which right.
I'm
going to
do it the right way.
It seems to be the case for both of you guys. Mm-hmm. You guys refuse to start accounts.
Mm-hmm. I'm not an account person.
You are 100% an account person.
I have a lot of passwords I have to manage already. And I just
think after I review the five movies that I remember that I've seen, then what?
How many times can I review The Thing?
As many times as you like.
Well, you're turning me around on this.
I'll get on there.
You can keep just reposting movies you've already seen and been like,
what if it was just The Thing constantly?
Do it.
You'd probably be a very popular account.
Just make your username like Thing Guy, maybe The Thing Guy, or
John Carpenter's Thing Guy. It's worth us bringing up because the fact is that the fact that somebody made a Deathstalker movie, you know, a modern Deathstalker movie, the last one.
I feel like you're saying it wrong.
Deathstalker. Sorry. Oh,
yeah. I've seen that. I saw that one. I saw that one.
Yeah.
Now you guys have caught up. But having made one, you know, when the last of the Deathstalker movies.
Thank you.
Came out so many years ago. Last one was in 1991. So to have a new
I remember that. I've seen it. I've seen 1991. I've seen 1991.
You've seen the year. I don't think you saw Deathstalker 4 Match of the Titans.
No. I've seen the year 1991 for some listeners who might have been born then.
You mean Deathstalker for Night of the Titans, this right?
If we're going to keep correcting you, this is going to be a very long episode to get through.
So what? Commit and listen.
I just want to make sure we're talking about the same movie.
Yes. Deathstalker for Matt of Thai Tans.
Okay. I mean, I think I saw a different version, but I might have seen the European cut. But I'm with you. I'm following. I'm tracking.
Which is actually, honestly, if I go back through just real quickly, because I'm the only one that has seen all the Deathstalker movies. The fourth one's not bad. Rick Hillis returns. He's the original Deathstalker. He doesn't come back for part two. It's a totally different guy again for part three.
Which one is Mark Singer in?
That would be Beastmaster.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he does come back for Beastmaster 2 and 3, I believe.
Okay. Sorry, I got those confused.
We haven't talked about the Beastmaster movies. That feels like something we should.
It feels like a miss.
We haven't. I feel like I've seen those. But we didn't talk about it.
You've seen Beastmaster for sure.
You made me watch something that we then didn't talk about. Oh my God, I'm furious.
Beastmaster is a total classic, but there's Beastmaster 2 is when he goes to modern times.
So like the Star Trek 4 episode.
Yeah, but they go straight to Star Trek 4 and Beastmaster 2.
Because they had zero budget? So they're like, we'll just shoot it on the street.
I would guess because it's not... I mean, Beastmaster 2 is because the producer sort of took over for Don Coscarelli, and he doesn't come back for the other Beastmaster movies. The original producer for Beastmaster was this eccentric kind of European guy who maybe he's not even European.
Just has a European name.
I'm not sure where he's from, is basically what I'm saying. But he decided to take over because he owned the rights to the Beastmaster series. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Silvio Tibet, who is a Lebanese. He's from Lebanon. So he takes over
he's not European.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm like. Right. I don't think that's part of the EU.
Okay.
But I'm right.
Corrections and retractions work for you.
Oh my God. Should we start a corrections and retractions podcast?
Please not. That's not. Not for Please this not. Podcast.
Aren't we already not. Aren't we already doing
quick
it?
Quick correction. Please let's not. I'm already starting the podcast.
Is this not now. Already the
I feel like that correction should have been on the Semantic Cast.
Ooh, this podcast is live, folks. Audio trademark. Pretty sure that'll hold up. That's going to hold up in a court of law.
All of our podcasts are live.
Oh.
As long as you don't always have to have a crowd, they're always live.
Oh.
So Beastmaster 2 is when the producer takes over for Don Coscarelli, and then it's called Beastmaster 2 Through the Portal of Time.
Oh, sounds kind of fun.
Which is something that, you know, Deathstalker could have utilized. They never went back to the present. is what I was going to say.
Wouldn't that be go forward to the present? Another Semanticast episode. Yeah,
okay. I mean, that's something you guys can hammer out in the Semanticast.
Oh, we're hammering it. We're bringing the big hammer out for that one.
I'm sorry, just really quick. Which movie are we talking about?
Deathstalker.
Okay. Oh, God, I thought we were talking about Freddie Franco.
I thought we were talking about Beastmaster 2.
Is it Freddie Franco?
Frankie Freako.
Oh, my
dear God, you're so
that
off.
I was way off.
Just look at the computer screen in front of you.
I closed that tab. Was that a good idea? I thought I had it.
No. So let's quickly go through our made-up letterbox synopsises for Deathstalker 2025. Erica, what is your made-up letterbox?
My made-up one?
That's what our Nearly New Worlds guys, we do this every time.
We do this for these episodes.
Jeez.
God, guys.
Should we do it for a new movie? I mean, I feel like it's going to confuse people.
We are doing it for a new movie.
But shouldn't we have gone back to the present?
Your made-up letterbox synopsis for Deathstalker 2025.
An absolute snack of a man is present on screen for 90-ish minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. There's a brief titty count. There's swords. There's fires. There's demons. There's devils.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a real incomplete letterbox because I want to just
it's an incomplete sentence.
Put it out there.
But sometimes that happens. That happens on Letterbox. Sometimes there are incomplete sentences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolute snack of a man, though. That's how it's going to start. And maybe you should end with that. Absolute.
A snack of a man who I should say is 60 years old.
Oh, God. Yum. Wow. Delicious.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He has made dietary choices that I have not.
He's made a lot of choices that I regret now.
Yeah.
Seeing him and knowing his age, I'm like, wow, I've done a lot of things wrong.
If you had told me 46, I'd been like, yep, okay, sure. Yeah.
He looks very good.
Real good.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's upsetting. It's upsetting.
No, it isn't. It's wonderful.
Well,
it's fantastic.
It's upsetting as a man who's younger than 60 to think. I'm not aging
saying,
quite as well.
When I'm 60, I won't look like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not. Don't hold me
reach
to that.
For the stars.
don't hold me to that standard.
Maybe Mark, if you got a wig, nice wig.
He doesn't have that long of hair.
A human hair wig.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but even if I was not follically challenged, I would still not look like that.
Is that what you call yourself instead of bald?
Follically challenged. I like that.
Is that what we should call you? Is that
I'm sorry. Are we?
It's what's on my disability placard on my car.
Gets you the good parking
spots.
Gets
me the good
parking
spots.
That's all that matters.
Yep.
That's all that
Maybe
matters.
It's because he's Swiss.
Maybe.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
They have a lot of chocolate there, though.
Which he has avoided.
Clearly, he has given up. Or he ate only that, and that's the result. He's just a little delicious, sweet man. Maybe he's sweet. I don't know. Daniel, let's find out. Let's chat. I don't know.
Daniel Bernhardt of John Wick, and who also worked on the Nobody movies.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Well, he helped
serve chocolate to all the staff.
Yes.
It took the words right out of your mouth. That's how handsome this dude is. He's a former model.
He helped Bob Odenkirk learn a lot of the fights. He worked with Bob Odenkirk a lot in terms of the fighting and stuff for
because he's
for
like a black nobody. Belt in two different kinds of karate, right?
Oh God, go on.
I didn't realize you're such a Daniel Bernhardt fan.
I mean, I didn't either until I watched this movie.
He's also done a lot of
God, he's also 6'2". That's a real gut punch too, isn't it?
Tall.
For who?
For anyone.
Anyone.
any red-blooded man. Yeah, he also did a lot. He got his start. He did a lot of kickboxing. He has done a lot of martial arts. He started off in the Bloodsport series, filling in for Jean-Claude Van Damme after the
port.
Bloodsport. Bloodsport.
Bloodsport.
I'm sorry, I was confused. Yeah. I didn't know which movie you were talking
next
about.
Next up, Bloodsport.
Thank you. Oh, God. And, of course, his wife is gorgeous, too. I love this whole family.
Man.
Oh, man.
So he did the...
But their kids are fugly.
Maybe they'll adopt me.
The kids are gross.
Don't.
Yeah, they're so gross.
Yeah, they just...
That's how it works. That's how nature corrects itself.
No. Nope, it isn't.
You
it
know
isn't.
What? We like to think that that's the
nature
case.
Nature makes everybody else ugly. Yeah. That's what happens.
We want to believe that to be true.
I do. That's how... That's the only way I'm going to bed tonight.
Good night, everyone. I hope pretty people's kids are ugly.
Well, guess what? They're not.
Nah,
damn.
It's very light real-time research. Damn. Whole family's gorgeous. So.
Oh, damn well. It. Oh, yeah. Well. Anyway, he did Bloodsport 2, 3, 4, and a
two,
bunch of other
three,
movies.
2, 3,
4. And he's done a bunch of
Bloodsport. Bloodsport.
And he did a lot of like straight to video action movies, some of which are quite good.
How are the others?
Some of them not as good. He's in Extraction 2, which is quite fun. And he's even in Nobody 2, and in Nobody he's briefly in Nobody. And he's in the Skyline movies. If you guys watch
like
those.
The chili,
God, that
the
sounds delicious.
The Cincinnati chili. We're just playing straight to Cincinnati right now. Just
but hold on. They made a series of movies about that.
Love to have a
chili.
Coney right now. I'd love to watch just Daniel Bernhardt eat a Coney.
Is it just people having a five-way for an hour and a half?
I hope to God anyone from Cincinnati is tuning in right now. Otherwise, everyone's lost.
I'm tuning in. Does that count?
Yeah, check so, the box.
I mean,
check.
The three of us know.
Yeah.
If that's good enough. Mark, your made-up letterbox synopsis?
Oh, my God. We're still at made-up letterbox synopsis? Holy shit.
Yeah, we only got through yours.
While pillaging dead bodies, a man stumbles upon an amulet that sends him on a long journey where ultimately he acquires a sword that will make him the king of the universe, and quickly realizes that that sword is poorly built.
Mm.
And it's really a lesson of life that some of the things that people say are that which you will aspire to, that you hope you can achieve. Once you get there, it's kind of shitty.
My Letterboxd made-up synopsis is close, which is just an ancient warrior scours the land for the person that can help him figure out his Ovaltine secret decoder ring.
Why'd you call him ancient? You're so jealous. He's not ancient. 60 is the new 40,
drink
Ryan.
More Ovaltine?
A damn commercial?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. We also get in...
That's for all the listeners in Cleveland.
That's right. Only people in Cleveland watch A Christmas Story.
That's right.
Year in, year out. No one else. We should say then also the another person in this movie is Patton Oswalt, who does the voice of Doodad, which is a little wizard character that is his companion for Deathstalker. And quite frankly, I thought was a great addition, but the thing that threw me off was the fact that the person who actually plays Doodad with the mask, their lips don't seem to move.
Yeah.
So they're always cutting away from that because they're trying to cover the fact that...
I would assume that actor didn't know what they were going to say, and they probably didn't have it all written.
Maybe.
So they're like, just sort of move your chin like you're talking, but don't even try to emulate what's going to be said, because we're going to totally overdub that.
We
later.
Don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was just like maybe the mask was like didn't
move. That's what I thought.
Well.
It was kind of shitty. The mask was a little firm.
Yeah.
So it was
yeah
firm.
I mean, when you get a new mask from Spirit Halloween, you have to, you got to run it over with your car. You got to leave it out in the sun for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got to loosen
it. Soften
it's like,
it.
It's like
soften
a baseball mitt.
Soak it
gotta,
in some water.
You got to work it in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair.
This movie, I have to say, is very much like all the Death Stalker movies because it has a nebulous plot that you're like, whatever.
No, it's like an arcade game or like a video game. You go into a room, kill the boss. Then there's some story that's sort of carrying you along to why are you going into the next room? Mm-hmm. You go into the next space, kill the boss. Little more story, carrying the story along, next room. And that's how this movie plays. But
yeah, it goes from like action set piece to action set piece.
And I say that with zero criticism.
No, I 100%.
All of it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to, okay, where are we going next? Because there's going to be some big fight.
Literally from the very jump of this movie, when they go back in time and they show Deathstalker like killing...
Who?
Deathstalker. I said it right. Don't question me when I said it right.
I just have a hard time without the pregnant pause. It just bothers me.
So at the very beginning of the movie, when he's like, they're showing scenes where he's like bashing dudes up,
mm-hmm.
and he like puts a sword into a dude's head and blood spurts. I was like,
100% in.
I'm in.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Real blood, practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
Practical masks.
100%.
Practical creatures.
Hunky guy in.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't as worried about the hunky guy, but that doesn't hurt anything.
No.
Yeah.
Does not hurt anything, Daniel Bernhardt, for sure.
Only your pride and choices and confidence.
My pride and the choices that I could have made 20 years ago that I didn't, clearly, and now I'm suffering from.
Right. So we associate ourselves more with the dead than the person that's the people getting their heads splitting open, but that's okay. But you're right, Ryan. Like, that first scene, I was all in. You have great gore, a lot of it, and great sound. The sound of all the gore is really amplified because this movie isn't taking itself seriously. So they're going to amp up everything. But it works.
And we've talked about the other Astron 6 guys that are in the different movies. We've expressed our love for the different movies. We talked about Psycho Goreman. We've talked about The Editor, which is a movie that we adore on this podcast. Manborg, a bunch of the movies that the Astron 6 guys have done. And most of them are all in this movie as well. Connor Sweeney shows up as a little prince later on in the movie.
It's so funny. So good.
We, in the very beginning, we get Adam Brooks, who is like a medieval warrior who is who he gets very early on is the one who gets the amulet from. Matt Kennedy later is in the bar that he visits, who's one of the, he does a little English accent. And so we get a lot of those guys sort of filtering into the movie. And I love the dedication to that group. That Stephen Kostansky always adds to his movies. Stephen Kostansky always adds into his movies. He always adds the guys from Astron 6 into everything. I love that. So it was great to see all those guys. I think Connor Sweeney also just nails it with that character. And also, not to spoil anything, but what happens to that character was also rad.
Yes.
I'll just try to put it as lightly as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Also terrific. So I love seeing all those guys. Love seeing all the different masks and characters. Of course, he brings in a pig mask because from the very first Deathstalker, he has to have one of the pig guys as the original did. And part four, too, because they used footage from the original Deathstalker for that movie. And also the fact that this Deathstalker movie in 2025 adds in footage from a previous Deathstalker movie. The theme song for this is also done by Slash, who is the executive producer, but it's also the original Chuck Sereno score for Deathstalker 2. So they just take that original score and then they just add guitar to it, and they add Slash and Bear McCreary, and they just sort of redo that whole theme song and update it for now. And it's an amazing theme. It's terrific.
Yeah.
So I just love the love for the original movie, which, I mean, at this point, how many people love Deathstalker? I mean, the 1983 original, which, again, that those four movies, how many people are loving those movies? The original movie, when we talked about it,
one, two, three.
There's three of us here. All right. So,
three,
I mean,
three confirmed.
Would this be a good double feature?
With
the 1983 and the 2025?
I would say this would be a great double feature with the second Deathstalker, because the first one, if you recall, in the original movie.
I do not. Please remind me.
We discussed a good while ago, but the original Deathstalker movie was a little frustrating for us, because in the original movie, he is an asshole.
Right.
Who is super about himself.
Yeah.
And is like, I gotta find this amazing sword.
Right.
And he is just a complete jerk in a terrible wig, going around and flaunting himself to everybody.
And womanizing.
Yeah.
And
it's in the second one, which is directed by Jim Wynorski.
That he finds himself.
Where he is just a more fun character. I think if there's any inspiration that Stephen Kostanski got from this one, I would have to think it's from the second one. It's a little bit more fun. It's a little bit more, yeah, we're doing the sword and sorcery movie, but we're just going to have a good time. We're going to goof off. And I think that that's where he really draws his inspiration, rather than the first one where he's a hero, but also he's just kind of a hero who gets this magical sword and then is like, I'm the coolest dude ever. So yeah. Screw everyone. And it's like, I guess the second one, he's just having a good time. It's played by a Jim Wynorski.
Well, Steven, let's go. Prove it. Is Ryan right? Let's hear it. Is that correct? Is that where you were drawing from? Let's go. Let's chat about it. Let's hear it.
Didn't see as many bad wigs in this one, though.
Yeah.
No, there's not as many bad wigs. Though I do think there is a wig. But in the second one, John Terleski plays Death's Talker, who is from Chopping Mall, which we also talked about on this podcast as a nearly new world. And he, of course, was in Chopping Mall, he's the guy who's like chewing gum and selling furniture in that store.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who plays Death's Talker in the second one. And had input on the script, and it was just a lot more fun. So this one feels a lot more akin to the second one.
But this one also takes swings at broader sword and sorcery movies. So in all those sword and sorcery movies, you have a moment where either a hero or one of the characters meets with a witch of some kind, and they're trying to find meaning.
In the original Deathstalker, he does the same thing. It's the same. The original setup is very similar to the first movie.
Exactly. And then there's always, the witch is always going to say something that's vague. And as the viewer, you're supposed to try to figure out, like, what did she really mean? Because what she's really is doing is foreshadowing what's going to happen in this movie. And this movie, I loved, because it's the first time I've seen where the character, so he goes and meets with Torvala, and she's giving him the advice about why is this amulet sticking with you, and now it's a curse, and it's, but she's speaking in riddles, and he just says that, I just wish you would just stop talking that way and tell me what is actually happening.
Right,
and
right.
As a viewer of watching so many of these movies, he was my voice, and I was like, exactly. Could you just, there's no reason for this. You could just tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, why are there rules around that a witch must give you riddles? Why don't you just be like, hey, listen, things are about to get fucked.
Get to the point.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would recommend that you do 500 push-ups when you leave, and I'm going to watch from a corner. It won't be weird.
I'm going to get in the corner and watch. Physically moved to the corner. Yeah, that's the thing about this. Again, that's what makes, I think, this movie so cool, is that it's, I don't know how many people are familiar with sword and sorcery tropes at this point, because the original Deathstalker was created to, of course, capitalize on the success of Conan the Barbarian, mm-hmm. but that's not the first Conan the Barbarian ripoff that Corman does, because originally he does Sorceress mm-hmm. before he does Deathstalker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if Conan had come out or not, but when he did Sorceress, he had not seen Conan. He was trying to... He made Sorceress in advance, knowing that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a movie about Conan the Barbarian. He was trying to make a movie just thinking that was going to be a success.
But I think even before Conan, you had Excalibur. And Excalibur was a big hit.
Sure.
John Borman. And that's what sort of kicked off. I mean, we're always talking about John Borman, aren't we?
I mean...
That movie kicked off the whole genre. Like, that was such a huge hit.
Sure.
So, you know, even people can say this was just a plain ripoff of Conan, not Conan, the late night talk show host.
Yeah, Conan. Conan.
Conan, this is the barbarian.
Trying to take something away from Conan Needs a Friend, the podcast.
Right. Which is what this is ripping off every week. But you could say that, but really it all goes back to Excalibur as the start of the 80s hype of the sword and sorcery movies.
I mean, whether or not Excalibur then allowed for Conan the Barbarian, but I think everybody was then chasing Conan the Barbarian, and Roger Corman made many of these because, of course, he did Warrior and the Sorceress. He did Barbarian Queen 1 and 2. He makes another Deathstalker. He makes two more Deathstalkers once he's really into Concord Pictures and they're making tons of movies.
You got the Beastmaster movies, those sequels coming out.
Damn, this shit is hot off the domes.
But Red Sonja. Right now,
all this off the domes. They're not looking at anything but each other. I'm just going to turn my mic off.
The bro domes.
Watch this go down.
Beastmaster, because that was a movie that he had made in advance. Didn't know that Conan the Barbarian was being made at the time. When you read Don Coscarelli's book, he had no idea that was being made. He was just making
a book.
But that's why I'm saying that Excalibur sort of started all of that. And then you had, okay, well, that movie was big, so we can start building these other sword and sorcery worlds. So, I mean, I don't think
Excalibur,
everything goes
back. 1981.
Right. I'm just saying it doesn't all go back to Conan the Barbarian.
But that really popularized. That,
of course. Yeah. And that's what got Conan the Destroyer and Red Sonja and, you know, all of those movies being made, which, you know, were really either sequel. They were part of the Conan universe, really.
Did you, Erica, did you see all those movies? Did you see Conan the Destroyer? Did you see Red Sonja?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe not. This ain't about me. This is dome versus dome right now. Doesn't matter what I've seen, what I've not.
I'm going to take that as a no.
Well, I would say Conan the Destroyer is fun to watch. Red Sonja was a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having seen Conan the Destroyer recently, few years.
I haven't seen it in, 30 plus years.
Yeah. We've seen it recently, and it's not as bad as you remember, but it's also not Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, right.
Not as good as that.
Yeah.
But we've not seen Red Sonja recently.
I guess my point in bringing up when he goes to visit with the witch is, if you were coming into this without knowing who made this movie, and maybe you were a fan of Beastmaster, or Deathstalker, more specifically. The opening of this is not, it's certainly very gory, but it's not necessarily insinuating that this movie's got a little bit of a wink to what it is. It's really not until he visits that witch that you're like, oh, this movie isn't trying to take itself too seriously. It's not going to be campy, top secret airplane making fun of these types of movies.
Sure.
It's definitely
sure.
not.
No.
They don't wink at the camera. They're not breaking the fourth wall. They're following the story straight, but everything's heightened up to where, you know, this is a comedy and action sword and sorcery.
Yeah. It has one of those weird, it goes through one of those weird lines. Like, we recently showed the kids Shaun of the Dead. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those weird things where you're like, we're sort of poking fun at this as a genre,
mm-hmm.
but also making a legit addition to this genre, which that, is like a...
That's a better comparison.
It's a absolutely. Unique It's a unique situation.
It's a hard line to
it's a really follow. Tricky... Yeah, it's a tricky yeah. needle to thread.
Yeah.
Because... And the gore part of it, I have to say, is really not of the Deathstalker genre or for franchise.
Right.
Because those aren't really particularly gory movies. They're really not. That speaks more to Stephen Kostansky's, you know, his sort of tastes,
mm-hmm.
really more than anything. The way he's done Psycho Goreman and some of his other movies. That even speaks the, more to the kind the, of things that he likes to see rather than, and the genre itself, rather than, but not quite the Deathstalker movies, which really weren't very gory movies, you know?
Well, what I was going to say is even the Deadites have a Psycho Gorman-ish look to them.
For sure, mm. So for sure.
You know, you quickly recognize like there's a style in the way that this movie is done.
Yeah.
If you've seen Psycho Gorman, you're like, okay, I there are elements of this that I'm familiar with.
Yeah. Stephen Kostansky has clearly, I mean, because he's done a lot of like special effects for certain mm-hmm. movies, and he did In a Violent Nature. He did a lot of the special effects for that movie, which is a pretty gory slasher movie. And he clearly likes the gore aspect and sort of amps that up for this version of Deathstalker, which is just another reason why I love this movie, because it's terrific in that way. It's a hard movie to talk about because I don't want to like spoil too much about it,
right.
but also like it's a difficult plot as we're discussing, because it's just kind of going from boss to boss and going from different creature to different creature. And, you know, that's another thing about Kostansky is he loves building those sort of creature effects, going mm-hmm. back to even Manborg and that kind of thing, where he just is building different masks and different special effects. And those are things that he really is into. And I think this movie also, I mean, there was even a crowdfunding campaign for this one to get more money to help with the effects from this movie so they could afford more elements of that. And so I think this is a movie where... You know, those sort of elements were really the key element to this movie that I think Stephen Kostansky wanted to pull off, were a lot of the special effects, the practical effects, I should say. So it's such a great blend of like fights and gore and masks and creature effects. And to talk tons of the plot, it feels like it's hard to kind of get into those elements. It just goes from creature to creature.
No, we're not at final questions.
And we never will be.
But did you guys have a favorite creech?
Ooh, that's...
Yes. I mean, I happen to love the...
And if you don't want spoilers, if you don't want creature spoilers, just tune out. Well, I'll start. I had a favorite creech.
Yeah?
Flying Eyeball.
Yeah.
Flying Eyeball
was great. I was going to talk about the mummy creature that shoots the blade out and stuff.
Right.
When he goes into that town and everybody's been killed.
Ish.
And he throws that little like spinning blade out. Mm-hmm. And then... Equal to that is the very first creature, which is like the big creature that has two different heads on it. And then like the two brothers.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because I think that sets such a perfect tone for the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's like these two, I mean, they're just so goofy in a way. And they're both talking to each other, but their mouths are just, they're not articulated incredibly
right.
well.
Right.
But they can articulate. But
yeah.
they can articulate super well. And that in a way gives a really kind of funny tone to it. It gives a great like, okay, this is the kind of movie we're watching, and this is honestly the kind of movie that I love, so I'm well set up for this movie. It's something that I was like on top of things that I'd already seen that I was like, yes, I'm in 100%. And then I see that creature and I'm like, oh boy, yes. But the mummy creature I think actually looked terrific.
For sure.
And I love that little spinning blade that he throws.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, this is great.
I'm going with the swamp monsters. Because
yeah.
the swamp monsters mm-hmm. are set up to mm-hmm. be this and I'm not giving anything away with this, it's set up to be these creatures that live underground that nobody has ever lived whenever they see their presence. They are the most terrifying of creatures. And without giving anything away, the payoff is great.
It's so
good.
When
you see them and then where the story goes with them, they were my favorite. They were absolutely my favorite. You know, this movie also, in addition to the practical effects, introduces stop motion effects, which is amazing. Yeah. Nobody does that. You have stop motion effects, you have great practical effects, and then you have the flying creature, which is like really shitty, old school flying special effects with that little blurred line around it where you know it's totally fake. Yeah. But that adds to the whole universe that you have, like this marrying of different styles of effects coming together.
And it really goes back to even like New World Pictures, because recently I took our daughter to see a screening of Piranha.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Piranha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there's that scene in the lab, which I just love, where they have that stop motion creature that runs around the lab, which is only in that scene. Right. But it's really just to kind of set a tone for the movie, mm-hmm. to kind of say like, yeah, this is the kind of stuff you should expect. This is the kind of thing you should expect from this movie. Not to say that stop motion is something you should expect, but just that like, we're going to include stuff like this. That's the kind of movie you're watching.
Right.
And that's what this movie does, which I absolutely love. There's a little bit of really deft communication of Stephen Kostansky and company telling you, like, this is what I'm presenting.
Mm-hmm. Get on board.
Get on board. Enjoy. And, right. And I'm like, 100%. Like,
yeah.
And so it really does dip into that world of New World to say, like, yeah, I'm just going to have a little stop motion, just a little bit of it, just to give you that taste of the stuff that you used to see a lot of.
Which, again, that flying creature that I'm saying that it's kind of poorly special effects.
like even a sorceress, basically, when they're going to have the end
And
of
I
that.
Know it's intentional to look that way. And it's just saying, like, this is the kind of movie you're watching. Mm-hmm. So this should not be a surprise.
And I have to say, too, I looked when I watched it for a second time, which I did out of pure joy and desire, and I'll watch it again.
I'm disappointed. I admittedly rented this.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to buy it. Yes. Is there a Blu-ray of this?
There's not yet, but this was released by Shout,
mm-hmm.
Shout Studios, which also released Frankie Frico. And they released
which movie?
Frankie
Is that
Frico.
The one his, that Erica was talking
Freddie
about?
Franco.
Oh, God.
He's the least well-known Franco brother. It's like, okay.
James.
Dave.
There's Dave. There's James.
Dave is at the top right now.
Dave is top. Yeah, because James is,
then
you know,
James, because he got weird.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then Freddie.
And then Stephen Baldwin.
Yep, that's the order. Mm-hmm.
That's the proper order of the Franco brothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Shout did put out a Blu-ray of Frankie Frico. I have to assume, even though now they don't have a website anymore and they're going through Groove, however you want to say the name. But I assume there at some point they're going to put out a Blu-ray. I hope, because I will 100% pick it up.
No, but I will say of the movies I've watched this year, I know we're not at our ranking episode.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
But
we don't do a ranking episode of the best movies of the year.
I know we're not at the world.
Don't we do it at the end? We're not the world.
We're not doing the worldies yet. That's what you mean. The worldies.
All right. I mean, I don't remember our Semantic
cast.
But here's the thing. This one is...
If you don't remember a made-up award show, who is going to?
Nobody, Ryan. But this is definitely... If this was made by New World Pictures, this would be on my top five.
Oh, 100%.
And it's in my top five for the year, regardless.
For sure. For sure. This is such a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... I know we're not at things we love with things we hated yet, but I don't think that there was anything I hated about this one.
I don't think so either.
That's tough.
Well.
Okay.
This is nitpicky.
Oh, boy.
I hated one thing.
Okay.
Bear with me.
Okay.
Don't pause it. Don't stop the listenership. Is listenership a word? Don't pause the episode.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
Samantha Cass approved.
Thank you. I mean, the titty count's kind of low, right?
It is. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
The titty count is low. I mean, I only counted one, and I don't want to say what it is because it will be a huge spoiler, but.
Yeah.
No, that's you're it. Right. I mean, but just saying the titty count is low is probably a spoiler in itself.
It's
hate to even put it out there, but.
For a Death Stalker movie.
It's low.
It's very low. It's low.
Shockingly
it's
low.
That's for a Death Stalker movie, we have a mission that you don't worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So, check. You've got creatures to fight. Check.
Mm-hmm.
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 You've got footage from other Death Stalker movies.
Mm-hmm.
Check.
Check.
Titty count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's lacking.
A little lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little lacking. So that's, I know we're not doing things we love, things we hated, but let's be real. Yeah. We love this movie. 1, 2, 3. We all loved it. Huge thumbs up.
Mm, but could have.
Could have used a titty or two more.
I mean, we would have taken a singular.
Yeah. Even some cleave. Some cleavage, some generous cleavage. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And
there isn't even generous cleavage in this one.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that you're not even close to a nip slip.
No.
At any point in this movie.
No. Nips are super safe.
It's super safe.
Yeah. There's no slips.
No.
Yeah, which, you know, is fine, but for a Death Stalker movie.
Yeah. I was surprised. It wasn't just something a bit, hated, you're like, I should say. I was shocked. I came away with only one tally mark. I'm like, only one?
Mm. Okay. And that is...
I had a large piece of parchment here that I was expecting to fill with tallies.
A scroll, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I just check in Rotten Tomatoes for a second here.
Oh, some live dome research. Dome research.
Ooh.
Death Talker is 86% tomato meter.
Mm-hmm.
But gotta get those numbers up, guys.
But mm-hmm. zero for the listeners. Is this a false universe and we're talking about a movie that doesn't actually exist right now?
No, it just means that people haven't submitted their own reviews yet.
Oh. Is that a call to action?
Well, because
is this something
Rotten Tomatoes
need?
Has like
should the, we do
the critics
right now?
And then they have the
That's do what alive. I just said.
Yeah, do no. alive.
Yeah, we just need to submit our review.
Okay, and there are people that made that did review. I guess
so there's no popcorns?
It's under 50 for the
there's
popcorns.
There's no popcorns?
Under 50.
Yeah,
I don't know. Listeners, if this is the first time you're listening in, I refer to Rotten Tomatoes audience score as the popcorns.
Yeah.
The popcorns is under 50%?
Under 50 people, so they don't have a popcorn rating yet.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's not 50%.
Oh, so once it hits whatever
okay,
the number.
No
okay,
zero
there's no.
Rating.
Okay.
So I was
okay,
like, good. Have we seen a movie that doesn't exist and I just had a stroke?
No, I just don't think it's had enough people that have written their own reviews.
You
but
definitely
that
had
needs
a stroke.
To change.
You definitely
that
had a stroke.
Yeah. I mean, you yeah. also.
Right.
Yes. No, no. I mean,
you are having a stroke.
Yeah.
I'm just like on a,
I'm smelling maple syrup.
On a health note, you have had a stroke. You should go get that checked out.
I'm going to call Daniel. He's going to come in and carry you to the hospital.
Am I
so
good?
It's extra embarrassing.
Yeah, that's why the left side of your face is just
I'm
drooping
a bit. I'm
going to
have a super hunky 60-year-old man carry your 50-year-old ass.
You are fighting
into the hospital.
To your credit, you are fighting through this stroke right now.
You're doing a great
really,
job.
You're so strong. How are you carrying me? I go into you, but I'm not as strong as
he's
you.
All,
yeah. You should not
don't
have,
talk.
You should not have gotten on a plane
yeah.
to come out to California. This yeah. was not.
He flew out to save you.
My doctor says I get Bell palsy at 30,000 feet. What do you think?
Yeah, you definitely need to definitely see your physician when you get back home.
I had a client 100%. When many years ago when I was in advertising, I had a client.
Many years ago when you had a client.
When I had a client. Many years ago when I was gainfully employed. I had a client. She comes into my office. Granted, she's a client. She was in our office, and she says...
We cannot stress enough how she's a client.
But the reason why I keep emphasizing this is typically... Clients, I'll say it again. Don't come
this in. Person is a client. I hope anyone listening understands.
Was this when Mark was a male escort? Is that why you keep saying client so many times?
100%.
Right. You wouldn't know what service because it was lower grade escort service.
Just anyway, footwork.
She comes into my office Baldies. And says...
Just Baldies.
I'm done. Baldies. That's the site. That's the app. It's just Baldies.
Yeah.
You like those hot Baldies?
It's not just my head that's bald.
I mean, if you're circumcised, your head is always bald. That's how that works.
She says, I have to fly with my coworkers to Germany. And when I get up in a plane, I get Bell's palsy.
Oh, God.
And she goes, and I'm like, oh, my God. And she goes, oh, no. I mean, it's fine. When I land, it goes away. It's just something about being the pressure of being up in a plane. And she asked me, should I tell my coworkers first before I get on the plane? I said, well, what happened? She goes, well, my face droops and I start drooling a lot and I can't speak. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
You absolutely need to let them know that.
Give them a warning.
Wow.
Give them a little heads up on that one.
Wow.
Otherwise, you're going to be landing in Cleveland on your way to Europe when going to the emergency room.
Did you get an extra tip for that advice?
From a client?
Ryan, not everybody calls a baldy for sex. Sometimes they just want to talk.
Just for companionship.
Sometimes they want employment advice. Sometimes it's a mentorship situation.
Yeah.
It's just baldies naturally,
yeah.
They have a natural leadership quality that
that
hair advantaged people don't have.
That's right.
Yeah. Sometimes they just want to cuddle.
Follically challenged, as Mark mentioned in a previous episode.
Right, but follically challenges doesn't ring so well for the agency I was working at.
The follicly challenge that just works for your when you put in for a disabled
party. When you put in for my placard, then I say follicly.
I know we're not at final questions, but did she tell the team? Or was she like, nah?
I never followed up with her.
Oh man.
And worked with her for a year.
It's not too late.
You were like, I gave you the advice you needed. I don't care anymore. I'm checking out. I'm checked out.
Well, I was so taken out.
You were so exhausted from giving that good advice. You're like, I can't do anymore. Right. I'm out.
Yes, I went on the roof of the building, was like, I'm king of the world.
I'm out. I cannot give. I gave the best advice I'm ever going to give.
He's so aerodynamic up there on the roof of that building because of the baldness. It's amazing.
It does make me, you know, I have very low resistance on the top of my head. I should have been a swimmer.
Oh,
yeah.
Never too late. Or I don't know.
Weren't
what
you?
Your situation
Weren't
is.
You, though? No, you only played soccer.
Got to pay extra to learn that.
No, I swam in
10th
grade.
You did swim. I was about to say.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're not at favorite scenes, but was my favorite scene the hug?
Oh yes.
100%. How could it not be?
Yeah. I don't think I'm giving anything away.
Yeah.
But that's I don't think, no.
Hug. The hug or the scene with, hey? Turn it off now if you don't want a spoiler. But,
yeah.
But what he's like... Yeah, did you just say hey to me?
Hey? Hey?
Did you just say hey?
I mean, that whole scene, quite honestly, with what the prince's name, I forget his name.
Yeah. Played by Colin Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
The
Yeah, Colin Sweeney's Prince is just too much. It's cold. So funny.
I know you're going to hate me, but yeah. I think I'm a little
yes.
hot.
Yes.
So good. So funny.
That was the thing about watching Frankie Frico, that because Colin Sweeney is the main character in that, mm-hmm. and he plays a kind of that kind of character, that I almost was like, am I ready to take this guy for an entire movie? Because yeah. he's, yeah. you know, because he's such a funny actor, and he's so specific that you're like, ooh. But it totally works, and in that movie, and it's a delight to see it in this movie, mm-hmm. just as the mm-hmm. prince. He's so funny in this.
Well, I was just going to say, I know we're not in final questions, but would you recommend someone see this Death Stalker without seeing the original?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I don't think you
can need it live on its own.
100%. And that's why I'm saying I don't think it's so much a remake as it is. This could fit within, because there's not one. Rick Hill is probably the quintessential Death Stalker, just because he played him twice.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you had said Daniel Bernhardt is the quintessential, I would say, yeah, sure. I would take that too. He just hasn't played him twice. But there's no, like, every movie seems like a different movie, even though the fact of the matter was that most of the time they were written by Howard Cohen, who had worked with Corman on a bunch of movies. He wrote Space Raiders. He wrote The Barbarian Queens. He wrote, a bunch of movies for Corman, and then directed the fourth Death Stalker movie. So a lot of this came from Howard Cohen, but I mean, they were always so different that this movie doesn't. I think the only thing is that you have to have some kind of familiarity, perhaps, with the sword and sorcery genre. I think that helps, but I don't think you have to know all the other Death Stalker movies. And I think that the footage that I think it comes from and the theme song, I think all comes from just Death Stalker 2. I could be mm-hmm. wrong, but mm-hmm. I don't think 3 and 4 are added. Maybe it's from 1, but I don't think so. I think 2 is the launching off point. So if you want to do any background, I would just say watch the second one. But I
was
don't think
such a great answer, Ryan. It was so full of love and support and just a real appreciation for the genre. I'm going to say no. You have to watch it. It's required. If I had to watch it, you have to watch it. So watch it. Yeah. You won't. You'll be lost. You won't understand a damn thing. So yeah, you got to watch it.
Right.
You have to watch all 4 before mm-hmm. this one. Right. Put in some time.
Otherwise, mm-hmm. you are going to miss.
You
were
going to be lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're gonna be lost.
Yeah, and you're going to piss me off. So watch them.
Whenever Stephen Kostanski comes out with a movie, I'm on board. And it was so great to have him direct a Death Stalker movie. What a very specific and wonderful thing to be like, I'm going to make that movie. I mean, so when I knew this was coming, I was like, oh, this is, I had loved his other movies. So I was like, yeah, I can only hope that he's going to continue to do what he does. And he did. And I was delighted by this movie. It's absolutely a terrific film. One of my favorites of the year, no doubt. And everybody should see it.
Agreed.
And all the Agreed. Others. So be, watch yeah. your...
Yeah,
if
carve
you
out
watch
some time. Carve out some time. Because yeah. you've got some stuff to do.
You gotta watch.
Some stuff to watch.
Ultimately, to get to this one, you have to watch 4 other movies.
Yeah.
yeah. But it's worth it.
Well, that's it. That is it for Death Stalker 2025. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to listen to all of our Deathcember episodes... I'm not sure I even mentioned that this is Deathcember.
No need. No need. People know.
People feel it. People know. People can feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They know because it's like, oh, it's getting a little cold. It's probably Deathcember.
Right. I don't need to know it's December to know that there's Hallmark movies, Christmas Hallmark movies on right now.
Correct.
And people should know that it's Deathcember.
They're there. It's Deathcember. It's the last month of the year. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. Deathcember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so listen to our other December episodes. Go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes. You can find our articles, our t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt to help support the show. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody!